The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Bamidbar comes out so close to Shavuos that I've taken the liberty to deviate somewhat from the parasha tonight and to speak on something more related to the Yantif of Shavuos. Also, on this past Shabbos, we touched on a certain topic which stimulated quite a bit of interest. So from perhaps a different angle than we spoke on it on Shabbos, I'd like to go into that topic. And it's related to one of the Ten Commandments, which we will read on the Yantif of Shavuos. In Parshas Yisro, there we have the Ten Commandments. The first of the Ten Commandments is Anechi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hitzeisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. The last of the Ten Commandments is one that doesn't get too much attention, and that's what states Leisach Me'eretz Re'echo, that you shall not have chemdo. Now chemdo, we can give it a translation to mean envy or covet. That you shall not envy the house of your friend. Leisach Me'eretz Re'echo. You shall not envy the wife of your friend. His servant, his maidservant, his bull, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your friend. You shall not covet, you shall not envy. The Ten Commandments are written twice in the Torah. Why twice? Because they were given twice. They were given on the sixth day of Sivan, which we celebrate Shavuos. And then they were given 120 days later because the first tablets were broken at the time of the golden calf. So they were given 120 days later, which came out on Yom Kippur. This is why the Ten Commandments are written twice in the Sefer Torah. The second time in Parshas Va'eschan. There are a few slight differences between the first set of the Ten Commandments and the second set of the Ten Commandments. And one of these variations is in this last of the Ten Commandments. And in Boschanan it states, V'leisach meid eishes reyacho, you shall not envy the wife of your friend. Then it changes from the word chemdo, and it states, V'leisisave. V'leisisave beis reyacho, you shall not. The word sisave is from the word tavel, which means you shall not desire. You shall not desire the house of your friend. So dehu, his field, the abde v'amosai, his servant, his maidservant, sheri v'chamayre, his donkey, his bull, his donkey, v'chol asher re'echo, and whatever belongs to your friend. So in the first dibrais, in the first commandments, it states leisachmet. You shall not envy. The second commandment, besides stating leisachmet, it states leisisave, you shall not desire. This evening, let's try to clarify a bit the definition of this command. Firstly, in regarding the mitzvah of leisachmet. The Mechilta in Parshas Yisrael writes, the Mechilta states, O afilu chemin b'dibor, what does it mean that you shall not covet? Does it mean merely that you shouldn't have envy for someone, for possessions that belong to someone else? Or afilu chemin b'dibor, it doesn't mean where you try to get possessions which belong to someone else through dibor, just by speaking. Tamar leimar leisach mei kesev v'zohov aleihem v'lakach taloch. That you shall not covet silver and gold and take them. Just like there it's referring where an act was done to take possession of it, so here also the Torah is referring where an act is done to take possession of it. So from here we learn that the mitzvah of leisachma, you transgress only if your envy brings you to taking the article. If you see something which is very nice, which belongs to Reuven, it's a beautiful horse, it's a beautiful donkey, or he has a beautiful car, an automobile, and you desire it, and you envy it, and in the end you take it from him, then you have transgressed this mitzvah of leisachmeid. So we're not speaking here merely of envy, but an envy which brings you to taking it away from him. Now if I take it from him, so that's gzeila, that's theft. That's another transgression in the Torah. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Hei states as follows: Leisach moed leinshi beleide me mashma. People think that the only time you transgress leisach moed, if you come to take something away from your fellow man without paying him for it. But if I manage to get it from him through paying him for it, that's perfectly legal. This is what people think. Therefore the Gemara says that someone who coerces another person to give him something that belongs to him, even though he has paid the value for it, he has transgressed leisach moed. It does not disqualify him from being a kosher witness or from taking an oath, even though generally when you transgress a commandment, this disqualifies you, because it's through error. Because he thinks that he didn't transgress anything, since I'm paying him for it, so what am I doing wrong? But in reality, even by paying for it, you also transgress leisach moed. This is what's mashma from the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Hei Amud Beis. Now there are various shitas rishonim in this, which we will not go into this evening. But if someone is interested in looking a little further, so Tosfos goes into this question there, and he also goes into this question in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. But it's the shitas of the Rambam, it's the opinion of the Rambam, which we will deal with tonight, and also of the Chinuch, that if I coerce or persuade someone to sell me something of his, which originally he didn't want to. Originally he didn't want to sell it. But I influence him or I persuade him to do it, even though I give him the full money for it, and even though in the end the person is willing, I have transgressed this negative commandment of leisach moed. You will see it inside in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchis Gzeila Va'aveda, Perek Aleph, Halochates. Kol Acheimer Avdei Oyanoisei. Anyone who has envy or covets his friend's servant or maidservant or base of a Kelev Shil Chaveri, or his house or anything that belongs to him, Meidavu Shiref Shil Shilei Shik Nel Mimenu, anything that he can purchase from him. V'hikper Alob Beroim, and he comes with angles on how to persuade him to sell it to him, and he pressures him to sell it to him until finally he buys it from him. Even though he pays him the money for it, domim rabim, even though he pays a lot of money for it. Hareza eva b'leisaser transgresses the negative commandment of leishenema leisachmeid, of leisachmeid. Beina eiver belavze achi ikach achivet shomad. But he transgresses this mitzvah only when he finally ends up by taking the article which he has envied. And then he brings the posik from the Mechilta, as it states, Leisachmeid kesev ezom aleiv lekachtelo chimut sheyesh b'maiso. Only if it's an envy that comes to an actual act of taking. Now, the Raivad mentions there that if in the end the person is willing to give it, so his opinion is not able. As I mentioned, there's actually three sheets, three opinions in the Rishonim, but the Rambam's opinion with the Chinuch is like we just read. And this comes out to be a very, very great Chidush. This is something which is very enlightening, because most of the business world lives on this. It means like this, that if a person has a nice piece of land, if it's up for sale, it's a different thing, he wants to sell it. But I come by and I see that that piece of land I could really develop and put a nice factory there, or I could develop it for industry, I could knock down a few buildings and whatnot, what I could do with it. And I ask the person, are you interested in selling? And he says, no, I'm not interested, I'm not selling, not for sale. And I see what I can do for it, with it. So therefore I decide I have to somehow convince this fella to sell it. So I come with all types of tachbailis, all types of strategies. Either I will make him a very good offer, or I'll offer him a swap of another piece of land instead. Or I'll get a few people to call him up and try to put pressure on him. Or I'll tell a few people to tip him off and tell him that really this neighborhood is going down. If you get a good offer, sell. Whatever it might be. And in the end, finally, I convinced him to sell. And I paid him its value. Not only its value, the Rambam writes, Domim Rabi. I pay him a tremendous value for it. And in the end, he's very happy. Harezo Ovar Beleisachmeid. He has transgressed this negative commandment of Leisachmeid. Leisachmeid means that you see something that belongs to your fellow man, and you want it, and he's not interested in giving it to you. If your desire and envy carries you further to convince him, to persuade him, to entice him that he should give it to you, that he should sell it to you, and you're finally successful, this is what the Pasuk says, Leisach mai kesev zov velo kachta, that you should not envy other people's gold and silver and end up by finally getting it. This is a great chidush. So that's what the Gemara meant, that people are not aware of this. They think, Leisachmeid, if I desire something that belongs to someone else, and I end up taking it from him without paying him, that's Leisachmeid. But that's not true. See, that's what people think. But the truth is that if something belongs to your fellow man, and you decide you want it, and he's not interested in giving it to you, any enticement or persuasion that your desire carries you forward in order to get it from him, and you're successful in taking it from him, even though he gets his full value in return, you have transgressed this negative commandment of Leisachmeid. Now, what is Leisisava? Now, in simple sense, we could say that what is written in the second Ten Commandments, Leisisava, that's the same thing. It means you shouldn't desire. So it's referring to the same mitzvah, except it's using a different language. The Mechilta says not like that. Actually, Leisachmeid and Leisisaveh are entirely two different commandments, even though they're written in the same commandment, but they're two different ones. Mechilta states also here in Parshas Yisrael, Leisachmeid, this is an Eshu Dalit. Leisachmeid, Elahalun Hoime, Veleisisava. First it states Leisachmeid, and then it says Leisisava, you shall not covet, and then it states you shall not desire. Lechayev alataiva bifnei atzmai, vealachemda bifnei atzmai. The Torah is writing us both places in different phrases, in order that we should, there is the possibility to transgress on desire by itself, and to transgress and coveting by itself. Rebbe Eimer, Kosevechor Eimer Leisachmeid, Kosevechor Eimer Leisisaver. One posuk says, Rebbe says, Leisisaver, and the other says, Leisachmeid, Ketzad. So how is this? Ketzad Yiskai Mushtei Mikros Alolu. Leimeloch, Shiim Hisaver, if you desire, Sefer Lachmeid, then you'll come to covet. As it states, Veleisisaver, Veleisisachmeid. If you covet, then Sefer Ligzol, then you'll come to steal. And it brings a possibility. Now, so the Michilta is telling us that there are clearly two different commandments. And it's possible that you can transgress Leitisave, and it's possible that you can transgress Leisachmeid. So what does it mean, there are two different commandments? So here we come to the Rambam again. The Rambam brings also in here in Hilchos Gezeinah Va'aveda Perek Aleph. Halacha Yud, Kol Amisave Beisai Ishtai VeKelim Shel Chaverei. Whoever has a desire for someone else's house, or someone else's wife, or someone else's vessels, or anything that belongs to your fellow man that is possible for you to acquire, if anyone has a desire for those things, once he starts to decide that I would like this, and he starts to think how he can get it, and he becomes enticed with it, over belaisase. He transgresses this negative commandment immediately. Shenema leitisave. Ve'ein tava er belei belvad. Desire is in the heart. Hatava may be alidei chimud. Desiring something that belongs to someone else. Desiring means you see that he has a beautiful horse, and you say that I would like that horse, I want that horse. That's leitisave, and that will bring to chemdo. Chemdo is where you go and actually do things to try to take possession of it. Ba'chimu maybe lidei gezel, and chemdo will bring through to theft. Why? Because if the owners will not want to sell it to you after all my endeavors, even though I've offered them much money and I've tried many ways, so then the end is Yovali de Gezel, he'll come to theft. As it states, Yovali de Shvichas Domim. And it can go even further, because if the owner will try to stop you from stealing it, then he'll come to Shvichas Domim. Say lama loma mi maisa achav v'noves, like the maisa of achav v'noves, that there was a beautiful vineyard he wanted, he desired it, he tried to give it, he tried to steal it, it came to Shvichas Domim, it came to murder. All the marita. So from here we learn shamis ave eva belav echod. That once you desire something, you want it, that belongs to someone else, then you transgress a negative commandment. And once you actually acquire something which belonged to someone else, behefzer, through great pressure, that you pressure this other person, or bevakosha mehen, or you try to appease him to give it to you, you transgress two negative commandments. Therefore it says that you shall not have chemno, and you shall not have desire. If you actually take it without giving the money, that's a third transgression. So the structure of the halacha, is as follows. Now this is the Rambam goes through greater length in the Sefer HaMitzvos, which we will not go into now. But if someone wants to go into this further, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos Reish Samach Hei and Reish Samach Vov of the Leisa says, and the Chinuch follows this, the Rambam's way, in Mitzvah Lamed Ches and Tov Tes Zayin. But what comes out clearly from the Rambam and the Chinuch is, if I see something by my fellow man and I desire that item and I want it, then you have transgressed a negative commandment, one of the Ten Commandments. That's Leitis Haver. If my taiva, my desire of my heart, carries further to the point where I try to persuade him to sell it to me, and I'm successful, then I have transgressed a second commandment of Leisachmet, which you shall not covet that which belongs to your fellow man. So this is the definition of this mitzvah. From here we see, from the fact that the Torah placed this in the Ten Commandments, we see how far the Torah went in order that a person should control his desires. But when it comes to desiring momen shel acherim, possessions of another man, opposite, contrary to what's popular in the business world, that if the person doesn't want to sell it to you, you try to persuade him that it's good for him. But even to desire it is also a negative commandment, from the fact that the Torah placed this in the Ten Commandments. We see how much prime and cardinal importance that the Torah gives us. Now the Chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Tes Zayin brings an interesting question. He says, "V'al tetame leimer veich ye biyode shalodem limna limnei alibay meitayve shal eitzer kol klichem deshir b'shus chaverei. Veich tove b'teire meniyem b'mash yef shali mash b'mash yef shalei laodem lamer lo." He says, one can ask, how is it, why is it that the Torah came and forbade us to have desire for beautiful things that belongs to someone else? How's it possible for a person to control these desires? To control, to gird his desires of his heart and his thoughts. He sees something beautiful by someone else and he doesn't have it. It's human nature that he should want it. So how did the Torah forbid this? It's something that's yefshah, that's impossible. He says, "Zeh adover enikein, v'leyeimru ha'isei rak atipshim, haroim ha'chatoim menafshiseihem." He says, this kind of talk is nonsense. And this is the talk of the tipshim, of the fools, and of the chotim, of people who do not live decent lives. This kind of talk, that how is it possible to control one's thoughts of his mind, or desires of his heart, that he shouldn't want something that's by someone else, it's impossible for a man to do that. He says, this is nonsense, and this is not decent talk. Ki ha'omnam b'yara'odim limnaya atzmai v'makshivesa v'tavosev mikol ma'ashi yirzer. The truth of the matter is that a person's mind and his heart is in a man's hand. And he's the balabos. He controls and he governs. There's two types of people. There are people who control their minds and they control their hearts. And there are other people whose hearts and minds control them. But just because there are weak people in the world who are dictated to by their minds and their hearts and their eyes, that doesn't mean that we should ask the question, how can the Torah come and say that we should rule ourselves? This is what the Torah said, that you shall not follow your hearts, you shall not follow your eyes. The Gemara says, the eyes see. Gemara says that the eyes are like meraglim. Eyes of a person are like spies. Just like you send spies to scout out the land, or you send spies to scout out a neighborhood, that's a person's eyes. The eyes go and they spy out. They bring the message back to the heart. Ba'alev chemein, and the heart desires. But the Torah said, you shall not follow your heart. You shall not follow your eyes. You have to rule your eyes. You have to rule your heart. Not that they rule you. Biyado odem linay atzmai. Within the power of man to control this. His desires and his thoughts, mikol ma sheyirtze, for whatever he wants. It's all within his powers to determine for himself if he wants to desire this or if he does not want to desire this. The libay mosur biyode, a man's heart is in his hand. He knows everything. He knows man, and he knows what to command to him, and he knows the acts of man. And he pays reward for every thought. Remuneration for every thought. If it's not a good thought, there's remuneration. If it's a good thought, he says, then he brings this reward for generations and generations. So this is a very, very important principle. Now the underlying principle here, it's referring that you shall not desire that what belongs to someone else. And he does not want to get rid of it. See? That's the underlying principle here. For example, if a man puts up something for sale, a man puts up a big sign on a beautiful building for sale, and you come by and you say, I would like that building, that's 100% permissible. We're talking about desiring something that belongs to someone else that he does not want to give away, and you are going to try to take it away. You want it. See? You want something that's not yours. If a man's put it up for sale, so that's a possibility of becoming yours. He's willing to give it to you. He's willing to sell it. See? So that's allowed. Or, for example, you go into a store. You go into shopping centers and you desire what you see, then that has nothing to do with the basic commandment that we're speaking of here. Because those are all things for sale. Or, for example, another example, if you see something very beautiful by your friend, you see a beautiful dress or a beautiful suit, and you decide that you would like one like that also, then that also is not related to this mitzvah. See, you would like one like that also. You see your friend is driving a beautiful car, you would like one like that also. And you're thinking now of getting a car like that. That's not related directly to this mitzvah. Because here they're speaking about le'sesave beisre'echo. You shall not desire kol ma, whatever belongs. You shall not desire what belongs to someone else. Here I'm not desiring what belongs to someone else. He's just giving me an idea of what I would like to buy for myself. See, so that's not related directly to what we're speaking about. This underlying principle is, as the Torah said, what belongs to someone else, hands off. Doesn't only mean that you shouldn't steal it. Doesn't only mean you shouldn't, the ultimate, you shouldn't kill him to take it. Or next, you shouldn't steal it from him. It means you shouldn't even buy it from him. If he's not willing to sell before you come to coerce him or to entice him or to pressure him. Or you shouldn't even desire it. This is how far the Torah went with Mammon Shalachedim, or that belongs to someone else and doesn't belong to you. Something that belongs to someone else, hands off completely. That's his. Even to desire it, you're not allowed to. And it's one of the Ten Commandments. The Gemara brings an example. There's a Gemara that Shlomo HaMelech said that if the Torah wouldn't have given us many dinim, we would have learned them from the creation. And we would have learned theft from the ant. Because the ant, the nature of the ant, is they have a scent where they can distinguish something that does not belong to them, that belongs to someone else. And once their extra sense gives them a message that it belongs to someone else, they run from it. See, they run from it. Something that belongs to Reuben, we're not even allowed to desire. This is the underlying principle of this mitzvah. And this is what the Chinuch says, how a person is supposed to develop in himself such a sense that you see something beautiful that belongs to Reuben. You see something beautiful that belongs to Shimon. It's Reuben's, it's Shimon's, finished. You must not have any desire for it whatsoever. Now we'll go one step further. We find that our Chazal have commanded us even further. That in general, a person should not seek things which do not come his way easily. As I mentioned, there's nothing wrong with desiring something that doesn't belong to Reuben, that's up for sale in a store, or desiring what Reuben is willing to sell, or desiring an identical object that Reuben has that I could purchase some other place. There's nothing wrong with it as far as this command is speaking, because it's not Mammon Chaveiro, it's not someone else's things. But still we find that our Chazal have advised us, the sages have advised us in many places, that it's not good for a person to even desire too much those things. What comes his way without undue effort, that he should consider as his. He should naturally work for a living. He should work hard. He should earn a good living. He should spend his money. But beyond that, beyond what the money he makes, or the panosa he has, or that what happens to come to him, he shouldn't run after too much. He shouldn't seek too much. One of the sources for this we have is a pasuk in Mishle from Shlomo HaMelech. What Shlomo HaMelech said, in Mishle Chof Beis Pasuk Dalet, Al Tiga La'ashim, do not toil too much to become wealthy. You have to work. You must work hard. But don't give your life. Don't overdo it to become wealthy. Mibinoscho chodal. And even when it comes to certain wisdoms, don't overdo it. Why? What's the matter with it? What's the matter? I wonder if I work this hard, I'll make 1,000 rand. So if I double my effort, I'll make 2,000 rand. If I triple my effort, I'll make 3,000 rand. And money in this world is a good world, so why shouldn't I? He gives a very good reason. Very good reason. Because he says, Hasoif einecho bei einenu. Because the minute you close your eyes, you open it up again, your eyes, you'll find that it's not there anymore. It's gone. See? Why should you knock yourself out for a wealth when you turn around and you turn back around, it's liable to be disappeared. It's liable to be gone. Logic dictates that for an acquisition, it's worth struggling for. But it's not an acquisition. You'll struggle and struggle, and before you know it, it's gone. See, Hasoif einecho bei einenu, ki osa yase leknafayim. You will find that your acquisition all of a sudden has grown wings. See, that's what he says. You'll find that all of a sudden it has grown wings. Kinesha, like an eagle, be oyof hashamayim, be eif hashamayim, and like the birds of the heaven. You ever hold a bird in your hand? See? Loosen your grip for one instant and then it's off to the heaven. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us a very great secret here. He says that's the same thing with worldly possessions. It's like a bird in the hand. Loosen your grip for 1 second and you'll find it's sprouted wings and it's gone off like an eagle or like a bird. Now the Maral Miprag in his Nesiva Esher, so he explains that Shlomo is telling us, Shlomo was the Chochamik Kol Odom, the wisest of all men. And you see all of mankind pursues and pursues worldly goods. Shlomo is giving good advice. Don't knock yourself out. You have to work. You have to work. You must do what you have to do. But don't overdo it. Because as you say in Yiddish, Gornish will come from this. Because what will come from it? Once you turn around, you'll find that it grew wings and it's off. And he's referring here to two things. He's referring to wealth and he's referring to wisdom. Now, what does it mean by wisdom? Wisdom of the Torah, we know. Yogata motzoso. That if you labor, then you have it. Yogata le motzoso. If you don't labor, you don't have it. Or it states, the Torah only comes through tremendous, tremendous pursuit, tremendous, tremendous labor. So the Maral explains, what is the reason? See, what is the reason why it grows wings? Shlomo told us one secret. He told us why you shouldn't knock yourself out too much for wealth, because when you turn around, it might be gone, so it's not worth it. Okay, but what is the reason why? Someone else is very good. The secret why it grows wings is because wealth is not something which is yours. It's not something which you make. It's something which is given to you. Wealth is a matona. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something which is given to you. And therefore, that which is given to you is yours. That which you take, which is not given to you, that's not yours. And something that's not yours will elude you, will grow rings and run away, fly away. So therefore, it doesn't pay to overdo it. To pursue a parnoso in a sensible manner that you have to. But to overdo it, then you're going into areas which are not yours. See? What is coming to you, you'll get. To do more, you're going into areas which are not yours. And what you get a hold of, you're holding something that belongs to someone else. and eventually it will find its way back to that person. That's why Shlomo HaMelech said, you'll turn around and close your eyes, you'll open your eyes again, it'll be gone. And he says the same thing with wisdom. We're not referring to wisdom which is Roila Odom, wisdom which is befitting for the person. It's referring to wisdom which is above the person. The wisdom of Torah which is fit for the person, that he must labor in and that he must pursue. But many times we want to reach out to a wisdom which is higher than us. For example, someone who's learning, you teach a child Chumash, he wants to learn Mishnah. Or he gets a little older and learns Mishnah, he wants to learn Gemara. Or you learn Gemara, you want to learn Tosfos. You learn Tosfos, you want to learn Mishnayim, you want to learn Achronim, and you're not ready for it yet. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says, Binoskei Chodel. Don't pursue wisdom which is above you. Or he brings, the Moral says, an example, those who pursue the Nestoris, those who pursue the concealed wisdom, what is called the Kabbalah. And they're not ready for it yet. What you have, you don't have, it's not yours. And therefore it will fly away. He says, that's why Shlomo HaMelech used two examples. He used the example of the eagle. He says it will fly away, it will grow wings and fly away like the eagle or the bird. They fly up. Because both of these things come from Lamalo. Any wealth that a person has, that's a matona from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift from Hashem. Any wisdom a person has, also Hashem gives it to him. So if it's yours that he's giving to you, then you can make a kinyan, you can make an acquisition of it. But if it's yours that he's not giving it, if it's not yours, he's not giving it to you, it'll go back up. And just like the eagle goes higher than any other creation, if you pursue a wisdom that's too high for you, it will go back. So this is a great enlightenment. And therefore, when it comes to desiring something which belongs to a fellow man, that the Torah said, that's strictly forbidden. That's his, not yours. But in general, we should know that we shouldn't desire too much in general. That does not fall our way. If a man has a good income, he should spend it. But more than that, to desire things which he does not have, I say, this he shouldn't. Because it's not meant to be his. And even if he'll have it, it won't be his. There's another Gemara, a Gemara which at first glance seems very difficult. That's the Gemara we brought on Shabbos. The Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos. And of Ches. And of Ches, Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, Omer B'chia Mishmei De'ula. The Reb Chiya said in the name of Ula, Godel Hanene Miigia Kapo Yese Miyori Shemayim. Someone who benefits from the work of his hands is greater than he who fears heaven. The Ilu Benene Miigia Kapo, because someone who benefits from the work of his hands, it's written by him, Ashrecho V'Teiv Loch, two brochas. Ashrecho means you will be strong and fortunate. The Tevloch means it will be good for you. So two brochas are written by the person who benefits from the work of his hands. And what does it refer to, two brochas? Ashrecha b'elamazeh, that it will be good and strong for you in this world, v'tevloch l'olam habo, and it will be good for you in the next world. Be'ilu b'yori shemayim, but in the one who fears heaven, it's only written, Ashrei ish yori Hashem, only one brocha. Fortunate is the one who fears Hashem. Therefore, the one who benefits from the work of his hands is greater than the one who fears Hashem. Now, this is a Gemara that I never understood. What does it mean, the one who benefits from the work of his hands is greater than the one who fears Hashem? Almost everyone benefits from the work of his hands. I would say 95% of the world or more benefits from the work of their hands. So does it mean that everyone that works for a living is greater than one who fears Hashem? So what is the meaning of the Gemara? The morale enlightens us. It doesn't say anyone who works is greater. It says Godel Hanene Miyagir Kabri. The word Hano means the one who takes pleasure. Greater is the one who takes pleasure from the work of his hands than the one who fears Hashem. Now the condition here is not to work for a living. The condition here is he takes pleasure from the work, from the fruits of his hands. Not to eat the fruits of your hands, but to take pleasure from the fruits of your hands. And then here's a very, very great principle. And he says as follows. Most people work, and they make money, but they don't enjoy the fruits of their hands. Why? Because when they're eating their meal, they're thinking what kind of meal they could buy if they would make more money. The Gemara says, Yesh le mono. And everyone knows this in himself. A person has 100. He thinks, if I would have 200, then I would have enough. See? Yesh le mosayim, if he has 200, he doesn't have enough. He thinks if I would have 400, then I would have enough. And there's no end to it. There's no end. You find this by people making 100 rand, by people making 200 rand, by people making 2,000 rand, by people making 200,000 rand, by people making 2 million rand. And this is a tremendous force in human nature. Now how can a person ever enjoy what he's making? If whatever he makes is not enough, he's always looking at what he needs more. Yesh le mono. If he has a mono, it doesn't say he's nene from the mono. He enjoys the mono. He enjoys the 100. When he has the 100, he says, if I would have 200, then things would be good. So how's he ever enjoying the mono? What's the answer? That's the answer. He's not enjoying life. He's not enjoying life. And this is the world we have today. The world can go through poverty or can go through prosperity. There's no difference. The only difference is in the numbers, but as far as enjoyment, nobody's enjoying life. The Gemara says a poor man, he enjoys a piece of bread. But a rich man not. He's got too many other things to worry about. Godel hanene miyagias kapoy. He who enjoys the fruits of his hands is Yesha miyorashamayim. He's greater than he who fears Hashem. Why? Because he's the Yesh le mono, the Reitzah mono. He has 100 and he wants the 100. He's not interested in the 200, he wants the 100. And he's enjoying it. He's a person that's living. The other person is not living, he's always living in a shadow. What he has, he can't enjoy because he's constantly worrying and digging, he's worrying that it's not enough, I need more. So what he has, he does not desire. His desires are in what he doesn't have. So he's living in a shadow, he's living a fictitious life. The reality that's here, he doesn't take from. His whole preoccupation is what is not here. He's living a fictitious life. The one, though, who no matter what he has, now we all, it's human nature, well, if I would have this much, I would enjoy it also. See? But one day you find you have that much and you still don't enjoy it. It means a person buys himself a suit. So he thinks, if I could buy myself such a nice suit with this money, imagine next year when I'll get that promotion, I'll buy a better suit. Or if he buys this type of car now, next year when I'll be an executive, and I'll have a perk, See? Imagine the car I'll be driving then. So that his entire life is in desiring what he's hopefully he will get, but meanwhile the car he's driving, he's not having an offer. He's not taking enjoyment from it. But the other one, that he buys himself a suit and he makes a shecheyono on it, and he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it, and he couldn't care less about anything else except the suit that he's wearing. It's a different life. It's a different quality. Now, why is he greater than the Yorei Shamayim? So the Rav says as follows. The Yorei Shamayim is the one who fears Hashem. It's a very, very great attribute to fear Hashem. It's very great. But fear always causes responses of guilt in a person. That maybe he's not doing what he should be doing. See. For example, the servant that fears the great king. So whatever he does, he's thinking though, maybe he's not doing enough. Maybe he's not serving him as well as he should. He's lacking. So the one who fears Hashem, even though it's such a great attribute, he's also living in a shadow. What he's doing, he's not happy with. He's constantly desiring a level that he doesn't have. So what he desires, he doesn't have. What he has, he doesn't desire. What he's doing, I should be doing better. See, he's desiring a level that he doesn't have. So what he desires, he doesn't have. What he has, he doesn't desire. And that's a chosar. That's a person that's lacking. The difference between a strong reality and a non-entity, a strong entity and a non-entity, is if it's lacking or not lacking. So the one who's a Yorei Hashem, just a Yorei Hashem, he's not such an entity, he's constantly lacking. Well, the Nenem Yegia Kapev, the one who takes joy from the fruits of his hands, no matter what they are, whether he makes one rand or he makes a million rand, he takes joy from it. That's an entity. It's a strong entity. He's mistopic. He's satisfied with what he has. This is the one who's satisfied with what he has. Therefore, he's greater. And that's why it says two brachas by him. It says, Ashrecho, betevlo. Ashrecho in this world, and good in the next world. And Ashrecho comes from the word fortunate and strong, strength. Because Ashrecho comes from the word to be ma'asher. Ma'asher means to make strong. He's a strong entity. And he has both worlds. Well, the other one doesn't. It just says Ashrei once. Ashrei mish yorei Hashemi. Doesn't have both worlds. And then the Maral goes one step further. He says one step further. Actually, the one who takes joy from the fruits of his hands, he says, that's the one who serves Hashem be'ava, with love. Why? Because if a person gives you a gift and you're happy with it, so you're thankful to him. So you're thankful. If someone gives you a gift and it means nothing to you, so then you're not thankful. But if someone gives you a gift and you're happy with it, then you're thankful to him. What does it mean serving Hashem with love? Because you're constantly thanking him, so you want to praise him. You're thankful for what he gave you. Imagine someone who enjoys all the fruits of his hand. This means he's constantly thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every piece of bread that he eats, he's happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that bread. Every piece of material wealth that he owns, he's thankful. Every breath of air that he takes, every minute you see people like that. You see people that are always happy, that are beaming. Every breath of air they take, they're happy. So they're constantly thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a constant bond between them. Because if everything a person has is a gift, so a gift is a two-way item. There's a recipient and a giver. So there's a constant bond between the recipient and the giver. This is serving Hashem through love.
Well, the one who fears Hashem, even though it's a very great level, but he's serving from fear. And the Gemara says the one who serves from love is greater than the one who serves from fear. That's why Godel Hamen and Yegia Kapoiv, he who takes joy from the fruits of his hands, is greater than the one who merely fears Hashem. There's another Gemara which is similar to this. But the Gemara brings in Perek Bamem Adlikin, Ezel Osher. They asked the question, who is the wealthy man? So there were several suggestions. So the Meir said, Kol Shiyesh Le Nachas Ruach Be'eshrei. You know who is a wealthy person? Whoever enjoys his wealth. Whoever enjoys his wealth is a wealthy person. And this we see. We see we have millionaires, we have multimillionaires, we have multimillionaires. And they're miserable. They're miserable. And they don't enjoy the wealth. They try to enjoy the wealth. They're trying their best. And they try to let everyone know that they're enjoying them, but they're not enjoying the wealth. So he said, who's an osher? Who's a wealthy person? The one who enjoys his wealth. The one who takes joy from the fruit of his hands. I remember, I mentioned this on Shabbos, a story that I once heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, the Gifter, which he said over in the name of the Vilna Gaon. That the Vilna Gaon, he was traveling and he, in his travels, he stopped in at an inn. And he was shown to a room for the evening and he sat down, he ate his supper, and then he was sitting and learning. He had a beautiful voice, and when he used to learn, they said that it was really something to listen to. Also, a very, very wealthy merchant who owned all types, had all types of holdings, industrialist, came also to the inn from his travels. And he was given a room next to the room where the Vilna Gaon was, where his room was. And he was very weary. Tired because he works hard, he travels from city to city, Paris to London. And he comes into the room and he hears through the wall a voice of learning. So he goes to the wall and he starts to listen. And he's hypnotized, he's mesmerized with it. So beautiful. Had so much kedusha and so much peace, peace of mind. And he stood there good many minutes listening to it. Then he went to the innkeeper and he said, well, who's in that next room? So he told him, this is Rabbein Eliyahu from Vilna. He said, so you mean this is the great Rabbein Eliyahu from Vilna? He said, yes. He says, I want to go, I want to ask him something. So he knocks on the door and he goes in and he says, Rebbe, teach me also how I also can acquire the world to come. This is what he asked the Gaon. Because when he heard this, he saw that the Gaon was a Ben Olam Habo, had the world to come. Teach me also that I can also acquire the world to come. So the Gaon looks up at him and he says, if you're requesting the world to come, which is the difficult world to acquire, so evidently this world you've already acquired. You're not asking for Olam Hazeh. This world you've already acquired. Do you have this world? Are you happy in this world? He says, no, I'm miserable. He says, my life is not life. It's all I do is go from one meeting to another meeting, from one city to another city. I never have time for my family. I never have time for rest. I only have daigas. So the Gaon turned to him and said, if this world you can't acquire, so how do you expect to acquire the next world? And the Gaon told him this secret. Don't try to enjoy the next world. Try to enjoy this world. Even though this world is a very difficult world to enjoy, many problems, but still with positive thinking, there are many brochas. A person should work to enjoy this world, to enjoy the brochas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him in this world. If he'll succeed in enjoying this world, then he'll have the world to come. If he cannot succeed in enjoying this world, then how does he ever expect to enjoy the next world? In other words, we are too accustomed to totally negative thinking. We don't think positively. We don't look at the brochas that we have. We are constantly looking not what we have, but what we don't have. Now, it's very true that life is made up of what you have and what you don't have. And what you don't have is not merely psychological, it's realistic. Yeah, unfortunately, there are many, many hardships and many difficulties and afflictions and whatnot in this world. And this is not just psychological, this is not just a figment of the imagination, this is a reality. But at the same time, there's an abundance of brochas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every individual. Now, in other words, everybody's life has a very, very multifaceted colored side of bright colors and a black side. That's everyone's life. You won't find anybody not like that. You can always find someone who's got more problems than you. You walk into a hospital, or you walked into Tara, or you even go to the cemetery. You go to the cemetery and you see that as far as this world is concerned, you're much better off. You're still walking. You're still breathing. So everyone's life has a life full of colors and a black picture. We are too orientated in 20th century to stare at the black picture. That's all we see. So no matter what we have and what further colors come into our pictures, but the black constantly distorts it, ruins it. So we go around with a black cloud hanging over us all the time. We're not an enemy you get a cup of. We don't enjoy the fruits of our hands. We eat the fruits of our hands, but we're not enjoying them. And this is why we have a world that looks like it was today, like what it is. Everybody wants to swallow up the next one. Every individual and every malchus, every king and every empire and every country never looks at what they have. They only look at what the next person has or the next country has. And everyone is trying to. It's like the Gemara says, that the Mishnah says, Il mole meira malchus vele ish eschavere boluchai vishasreyu, that if it would not be for the fear of the government, one man would swallow up his fellow man alive. Today in 20th century, there is no fear of the government. So we have the exact situation where one man is swallowing up his fellow man alive. The Gemara says, Kedagim shebayam, just like the fish in the sea, that the bigger one lives off the other one. Because everybody is looking, the leisachmai, they're only looking, they don't look at what they have, they look at what the other fellow has, what they don't have. The leisachmai, or the leitisade, or all of this that we spoke about. And from here comes a total lack of life, of positive living. It becomes a fictitious life where we constantly live in the shadow of something that's not real. And from here comes all types of social problems and social diseases. Stress diseases, which are some of the major diseases of the world today, which they're relating now to stress. And emotional diseases and mental diseases and everything else. See, a khurban, a destruction of the world. So this is what Achazal told us. So firstly, the Torah tells us something that belongs to Reuben is Reuben, it's not yours. Don't even put your eyes on it. Not only you should try to persuade him to sell it to you, like he's in business all the time, because it's not yours, it's his. But don't even put your eyes on it. It's his. Be happy that he has it. But even enjoy what you have. But even what you have and what you can buy, don't desire too much. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, Altiga, don't knock yourself out. Don't go too far to amass fortunes, more than comes your way in a normal sense of way. Because you'll turn around, you'll find that it's grew wings and it flew away. It's not yours. Because only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, that's yours. And that he'll give you. and learn that what you do have, whether it's material wealth, whether it's spiritual wealth, whether it's physical health, whatever it might be, learn to take enjoyment from it. Learn to not use the fruits of life, but to enjoy the fruits of life. Gemara brings you, see a fruit, you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're very far from that. Well, a fruit, what should we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu from? And this will create a tremendous inner strength by a person. Tremendous inner strength and joy of life. And then from here comes the second thing. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't like depressed people. He doesn't like, many people think, many times when I see people, I get the idea they think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is depressed. Because we're obligated to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're obligated, it says, V'alachta bedrochav, you're mechuyev to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see many people, they take Yiddishkeit, they make a depression out of it. So they must think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is depressed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like depressed people. Not only doesn't like depressed people, he doesn't like to be in their company. How do we know that? It's a Gemara. Gemara says the Shabbos. Gemara says, "Ein Ashkina Sheire Lemite Hatzfus," that where there's sadness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Lemite Hatzfus, and where there's non-productivity, he likes productivity. Where there's non-productivity, he's not there. Elamite Simcha. When there's Simcha, when there's joy of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then he's there. So what do we see? He likes happy people. He likes productive people. If a person can bring this positive note into his life, not only does he bring himself this joy of life, but he brings Shechina. We should be zeicher to try to take some of these principles that the Chazal have taught us, that the Chazal have revealed to us with their great wisdom, and put it into our lives. And we should be zeicher to a Matan Torah, to the giving of the Torah, which is the source of all of the Simcha by Klal Yisrael. And have a Chag Sameach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.